John chapter number 8, beginning at verse number 1. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? I'm sure that in your life, at certain points of your life, certain times, certain seasons, you've done something in life, and after you've done it, you kind of had to step back and say, man, that was not me. I knew better. That's not who I am. I'm all out of character doing that. But in spite of the things that we do, and then God graced us the opportunity to step back and to not really be harmed by some of the foolishness that we do. When we step back, we see the love of God. Now, even though we go to God and we ask for repentance of our sins, every now and then God will allow some stuff to come out.
Yes, sir.
Some stuff that we do. And when the stuff comes out, not one of us say, thank you, Lord, for being a just God. It's at that moment that we seek God and we say, Lord, have mercy on me. And so here's this woman that we'll deal with tonight. This woman get caught in the very act of adultery. I know you never been caught before. I know you never came close to getting caught before. I know no one has ever been through your window or through your back door. But just allow your mind just to go with me tonight and just act like you almost got caught. I know it's hard for some of you saints to do that. But just act like you've been caught before, huh? Or almost. Do you remember the embarrassment that you felt? Perhaps you were single, and he or she, whichever opposite of you you were with, they were single as well. And you were grown, living in your own house, but you still was convicted of what you were doing.
Yes, amen.
See, because when you're not in the presence of mom and dad or children, we're still in the presence of God.
Yes, amen.
And so when you can do those things and you feel embarrassed by it, it's because the Holy Spirit is working inside
of
you.
Yes, sir.
No, I don't have issues with you.
No, when you don't have
it. It's the person that can do it.
My God.
And they feel nothing about what they're doing. I'm scared of you.
Yes, sir.
Because if you have no fear of God, there is nothing that will make you be committed and faithful to me.
Yes.
So we have to make sure that when we're doing wrong, we always allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, in us, through us. Now, tonight we're dealing with this woman, but the truth of the matter is, this story really isn't about this woman. The story is about the men that brought the woman. The story is about the plot that they had, not against the woman, but against Jesus. And all those that were not plotting, they were just peeking Tom. They just want to see. You ever been around some people that showed up just to see how things were going to come out for you?
Yes.
Just to see the outcome of you. They didn't warn you of what's going to happen or what was down the road. They just showed up to try and play innocent like I didn't know anything. So this woman finds herself caught up in something tonight. And the truth of the matter is, we should examine this woman because she should have known better. Because as we'll get to in a little bit, she was an adulterous woman, which means that that was her lifestyle. That's what she was known for. How could she not expect for someone to plot against her? Because I'm sure when they thought about who in the city that we could get that is willing to commit adultery and we can take it before Jesus, can you imagine how many guys she's been with for them to say, I know one? I wonder, will anybody say that about you? I wonder if somebody's thinking about a bee call late at night. You want me to spell it? I wonder, do you come up first or tenth? I wonder what people really think about you and me. This woman, and Miss Pam, you got to help me out tonight with a little reading, if you would. Okay. We're going to begin tonight at verse number 1. Begin at verse number 1, please.
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them.
Okay, so now Jesus is in a position where he goes to the Mount of Olives. When he gets there, the people begin to follow him. Is that what the Bible says? Now, when the people come, let me show you something strange. Why is it that the people will follow Jesus but not believe Jesus? Isn't that strange? Why then would you be a part of a ministry or sit under a minister that you don't believe? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, I just like the church, so I'm not there for him or her. And I can see that. But what is released in the atmosphere through words affects you. And so if you don't believe in the ministry,
yes, sir,
or the minister where you serve, it's in your best interest to serve God somewhere else.
That's right.
Now, okay, why would you say that and then someone would probably leave Life-Changing Church? And the answer to that is that I'd rather see you in the kingdom of God than to see you in this church acting a fool. See, because sometimes you don't mean to be, but you can be a hindrance to someone.
Amen.
See, sometimes some things offend people and you're not aware of that thing offending someone. See, because we're all different and we have a right to say what offends us. And so if you don't feel the Spirit, that's why the Bible says try the Spirit. It didn't say that part. I don't know where we get try the Spirit by the Spirit. What he says to John is he says try the Spirit and see. In other words, try the Spirit and examine the Spirit. And so if you meet someone and then if your spirit is not gelling with that person in the, I'm not talking about you liking, I'm talking about if your spirit is not gelling with someone, then you need to understand God is speaking something to you.
Yes.
Have you ever been around a person, never met the person, they just walked in your presence and something will, something about her.
Yeah.
The person just walked in your presence and you said, ooh, something about them. Or you've been around a person and when that person walked in your spirit, they just energized you. See, a spirit knows another spirit, because a spirit doesn't have walls and limitations and time. A perfect example is put two crazy folks in the same church and don't tell them each other's name and see how long it takes them to meet one another and become the best of friends. See, because your spirit man is always at work. And so because your spirit man is at work, then the Bible says that you need to examine the spirit to see if that spirit is of God.
Uh-huh.
And what it's really saying is that you who you're meeting? Because we say opposite attract.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is most of the time I'm seeking after somebody just like me.
Yes.
So if you see one person standing in a crowd and you say everybody else in the crowd are good people but that one, it's because you don't know the rest of them. Your mom and dad have told you birds of a feather. See, because we're always looking for self. And so Jesus now goes into the temple. When he goes into the temple, these people begin to follow him because they want a word from him. Now they are willing to follow him to church, but yet some people that go with you to church don't believe the God that you serve. As a matter of fact, they don't even think that you're really saved, because sometimes they see you making a boo-boo, and so they judge you different than how they'll judge themselves. There's not one of us in here that is without sin. I remember when I first went in ministry, you know, I had this issue. I had this issue of how can you preach to people knowing that not most of the stuff, but everything you preach about, you're guilty of. Y'all wrong. Stay right here, okay? But everything that you stand here, you preach about, everything where you say the preacher stepped on my toe, it steps on my toe as well. I am just like you. I just have a different calling and a different platform. The same things that make you cry, make me cry. The same things you desire, I desire. The same weakness that you have in life, I have in life. Don't you let me fool you standing right here. We're all together. Now that doesn't mean, okay, now you can lower your standards because I'm saying that. No, we are to pull one another up. That's what we are to do. But in order to pull one another up, we got to know where to start. We got to know where the truth lies. See, the problem that we have in the church is everybody in the church is holy, so we don't even need to lift one another up because we are already there. We need to stop lying in the church, don't we? Verse number 3, Miss Pam.
Then the scribes and Pharisees brought.
Now, the scribes and the Pharisees are the writers, the makers of the law. They're lawyers in their day. So they know the law. So you can know the law and still have no love. You can know every scripture in the Bible where it is, quote it, but you're not living it. So knowing something and doing something are two different things. And when I say do something, I don't mean that every single day you'll get it right. Because the day that you get everything right, we no longer need the blood of the Lamb. We just need your blood at that point. Keep reading.
Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery.
A woman. So I know that the subject of this story is a woman that is caught in adultery. I know that the subject of this story is a woman that was caught or taken in adultery. You agree with that?
Amen.
More than the act, she is caught not just in adultery, but she's caught up also in other men's matter. Have you ever been between two bullets? Have you ever been between two people fighting? And you just caught in the middle. You really don't have anything to do with it. You just caught between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. You didn't ask to get caught. You didn't ask anyone to seek you out. You just find yourself caught up in the middle. And I'm caught up in the middle of something, and they don't even know my name. Have you ever been going through something and people just used you and threw you to the side, didn't even take the time to find out your involvement in it. They just assumed you wanted to be there. They just assumed that you volunteered to be there. And the truth of the matter is, I really didn't have anything to do with it. And I know what you think, but that's not the real truth. How I really got caught up in it or in the middle of it is because I said hi to him and bye to her, and I just got caught up. And now, all of a sudden, the fault, the attention is on the woman who really has nothing to do with it. And I like the fact that the woman name is not given, because to you and I, it's a picture of the church. I know we thought we were going to talk about a woman and she was having sex and on and on. No, throw that away. It's about the church and her unfaithfulness to God. See, if you walked in thinking that, okay, I never got caught in adultery, therefore I'm safe. No, you're not safe, because you are a sinner saved by grace, and somewhere you stand in need of more grace, more mercy, and you got caught up in something that had absolutely nothing to do with you. This woman, she's taken in adultery. Now, I know sometimes we say we split hairs, but in the Bible, words mean something. What's in the Bible really is supposed to be there. Okay? So the woman is caught in adultery and not fornication. The difference is, adultery is implying that somebody somewhere is married. Okay? Fornication is just the sexual act. Nobody's married to one another, or generally speaking. And so what it's saying here is that this woman that is taken in the act of adultery, that she belonged to someone. Yes. Likewise, you and I, we belong to Jesus Christ. Now, because we belong to him, we have to understand that this thing is about faithfulness. Okay? It's about faithfulness. Okay, now this woman is taken in adultery. Keep reading, Miss Pam.
And when they set her in the midst, they said to him.
They set her in the midst. We got you. So we want everybody to know that you are. It doesn't say middle, it says midst. Like, she's sitting on the back row. She couldn't come to the front. But you can see her. So they just brought her in the temple, because surely she wasn't doing a trick in the temple. Right. So somebody brought her there. You have to be careful about the people that you do your dirt with, because sometimes they'll bring it to church. See, they'll bring it to church and say, I'm going to pray with you, pray for you, but they're bringing it to spread your little stuff. Be careful who your prayer partner is, because sometimes the person really isn't praying with you or for you. They just got their ears open so they can hear your stuff. Keep reading, please.
They said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery.
They say, master, teacher. And so in other words, to say master or teacher, what they're saying is that we come under your authority. You see that? Their words say we come under your authority. Their actions are something else. Now, the rebellious action, the Bible declares, is as witchcraft. Keep reading.
They said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery.
She was taken in adultery. In other words, we got her. We saw it. You can't deny it. We plotted it. We have evidence against it. She was caught in the act of adultery. Keep reading.
Now Moses and the law commanded us.
Now Moses and the law. The reason that they, remember, you're talking about lawyers. They bring the law in because the law is your schoolmaster, the taskmaster. The law says this is the way things should go. That's what the law says. And the law that they refer to is the Old Testament Ten Commandments. Okay? So he says, the law says, talking to Jesus, keep reading, the law says, Moses says,
now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned.
He did what now?
Commanded us that such should
be stoned. He commanded. In other words, he says, you gotta do this. You must stone her. You don't have a choice in the matter but to stone her, and to stone her to death. Now, last week we read in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 24, where we begin this thing about if a person is caught in adultery, then that person must be stoned to death. Well, today we don't stone people to death. We just swear, curse them to death. We just lie on them. We just do everything else to kill them and to kill their reputation and to kill their character. We are just like the scribes and the Pharisees. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing new under the sun. People are still killing folks to death, stoning them to death. We're still doing that. Now, notice that they say stone her to death. Now, in stoning someone to death, in essence, what you're saying is just take this rock and throw this rock and keep throwing the whole community. It was a community thing. And just, it's like a firing squad. Just fire these rocks at her. But the Jesus that they're talking to says, now I can block those stones. Because what we have to understand about Jesus is that we see this woman who is taken in adultery, and now they say, stone her, throw rocks at him. And perhaps what goes to Jesus' mind is that I know another rock, a rock Peter. And Peter says, this little pebble says, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus says to Peter, upon this rock, stone pebble, he says, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so now he understood that they were throwing stuff at this woman, but the fact that they were throwing things at this woman, what this woman stood in need of is for somebody to block what society was throwing at them. Do you ever feel like you're wide open to society? Like everybody's tossing and throwing something at you, and only if someone can block this from you. Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 21, verse 42, please. Matthew chapter number 21, verse number 42. Are you there?
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 21, verse 42. Read it, please.
Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone?
Now, listen to this. Jesus says, have you not read that the stone that the builders rejected, the cornerstone. So in other words, Jesus is saying, I'm the cornerstone. I was rejected. So I know what this woman feels. Jesus came to die and to experience everything that we experience. So this woman perhaps is sitting in church saying, everybody is against me. And while she's sitting in church thinking everybody is against her, she doesn't know that Jesus is for her.
Yes.
And if God be for you,
yes,
who
can be against you?
Can be against you? Yes. It doesn't matter how many of them it is. What matters if God is on your side. God will see you through whatever you get caught up in. And so what he's saying is that I know how you feel. I know how it feels to be rejected. Because Jesus is saying, I'm the cornerstone, and they rejected me. They say I wasn't good enough. So I know they're going to say, you're not good enough. And so in essence, what he's saying to them, he says, I am the cornerstone that was rejected. But watch this. The implication that Jesus is the cornerstone says that there are some other stones somewhere else. Because if he's just the cornerstone, what about the other cornerstones? And what about the back wall? So in essence, what he's saying is that your faith in God without works is dead. That's what he says to James 2:20. He says faith without works is dead. So just because you have faith in me, or you have faith in your law, but if there's no work, there's no action, that thing is still dead. And so they were supposed to stone her to death. But Jesus was thinking up the road and says, now listen, they want to stone you to death, but I know the beginning and the end. And so one day they're going to stone me. Mm. One day they're going to hang me on the cross. And to ensure that I don't come back, they're going to lie a big stone in front of the grave.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying, but I have the power to roll away the stone.
Yeah.
I wonder what is it that is in your life you need God just to roll away. Because man, I don't know what I was thinking, but God, please take that thing away from me. I don't know what I was thinking at that moment. That was the craziest thing I ever thought about. But at the moment, I was hot in the pants, and it seemed right to me until I got caught in the very act, and then it wasn't cute nor funny anymore. God, please roll this stone away from me. And so Jesus is saying, I have the power to roll away the stones in your life. Because he's saying, it's going to happen to me, and I know how to deal with it, so trust me. Wow. Pick up at verse number 4, please.
Okay. At chapter
18.
Uh-huh. Okay. They said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say?
What do you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep reading.
This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus...
They said that... was it testing or was it tempting?
Tempting.
It says tempting. In the King James Version, it says they said that because they were tempting him. The difference between a test and tempting is the evil spirit. You test, meaning that whoever has covered something and you're on equal playing field, and that person has to protect you to do well. I tempt you when I put you in a situation knowing or thinking that you're going to fail at it. And so what they were trying to do was catch Jesus, and so they were tempting him. And so they say to him, what do you say about the matter? Okay? And so when they ask Jesus, they keep reading, please.
But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger.
He stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Now remember who's talking to him. The scribes and the Pharisees. The lawgivers. They were telling Jesus what Jesus already knew, what he, his Father, and the Holy Spirit had already did many, many books ago.
Uh-huh.
So here comes this man trying to tell him what he meant when he wrote something. Have you ever met someone where you have a vision and they try to tell you what your vision is? Where they think you dumb and crazy that you don't know what God has placed in your spirit? Where they think that they know better than you what you want to do?
Uh-huh.
Who knows your vision better than you if God gave it to you?
Yeah.
You know what your vision is. So here comes some jokers many years later now telling Jesus that ain't what it means. So Jesus takes his finger. He stoops down and he begins to write in the ground. Right? Go to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 10 verse number 4. Okay? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 10, verse number 4. I found this interesting, where Jesus stooped down and wrote with his finger. Okay? Because what I was taught, and what I've heard wonderful preachers preach, is that I bet he stooped down and he wrote somebody else's name and what they did. And he wrote somebody else's name. And you heard that before? He took the finger. I bet he wrote Susie in the ground and Susie and Bob. I bet he wrote Mary and Peter. I bet that's what he was writing in the ground. Why did he take his finger? Read.
And he wrote on the tablets according to
the first writing. He wrote on the tablets. What?
According to the first writing.
According to the first writing, the what?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments. You remember when Moses was up on the mountain and God spoke to Moses and with his finger, he wrote
the Ten Commandments.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And now here Jesus in the New Testament, and you talking some more smack, talking to me about the Ten Commandments. He takes the same finger of God and say, I got one more commandment to write. And that is that you love your neighbor. So the spirit of the law says love, where the law, the taskmaster, says you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do that and you got to cross the T's and you got to dot the I's. And Jesus saying, I'm not saying any of that. I'm telling you that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I'm telling you that if you love me, then you'll love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. So how can you say to me, I love my neighbor? Here's this woman got caught in something, and now you're trying to stone her. What about you? Mm-hmm. What about you? Keep reading, Miss Pam. John chapter number 8. Deuteronomy 10:14. What it talks about is God taking his finger and God is writing the Ten Commandments. And this is the second time. And so what he's saying is that we all fall short. Go back to John chapter number 8 and pick up.
So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.
He who is without sin, you cast the first stone. If you think your little life is squeaky clean, go ahead. Stone her. But what he's saying to them is that before you throw a stone at her, I got one ready for your little glass house. See, because we can judge other folk as though we got it all together. And the truth be told, every one of us got some stuff in our house. We just pray all the time that God never let the front door open. I'm talking about we pray in the morning and at night and twice at noon. Lord, please don't let anybody find out, because that was foolishness. I don't know what I was thinking. And God says I can seal that thing. Now, watch this now. You got to keep reading this thing. Because he says, now he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone, right? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, they all have a conscience, and their consciousness convicts them. So they can't throw a stone at her because they know she wasn't alone.
That's right.
And this time we set up Steve to be with her, to be the fall guy. But I remember last October, I was with her, and Steve wasn't there. So if I throw the stone at her, she may bring up what happened in October of last year. And I think I gave her a receipt for that. I think that's where my other glove is, still at her house. So I better not say nothing. And so from the oldest to the youngest, they begin to disappear. See, the Bible says, judge ye not, and ye will not be judged. For the same manner you judge someone, God is saying, I'm going to judge you. See, you can trick man, but now Jesus is saying, go ahead and judge her, because I know your whole life.
Yeah.
So if you judge her, then you're giving me the invitation to judge you.
Yeah.
Now, notice he says that he that is without sin. Now, God never compromised on sin. So even though he have compassion for the woman, he still call it what it is. It's sin. See, God doesn't change. God doesn't alter. God doesn't play around sin. He doesn't throw little cute words. Sin is sin. But you know what? That too is all right with him, because that's why Jesus came. Amen. Call it what it is. We call it confession. We like to paint things and make them all pretty. No, sin is sin. Don't be telling me it was a boo-boo. No, you sin. Call it sin. Confess about it and move on.
Amen. Amen.
So he says, call it what it is. And he says, what it is sin. He did not change, he did not alter, nor did he justify the woman's action.
Uh-huh.
He simply said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He says, if you're okay, then you cast the first stone.
Yeah.
So in essence, what he's saying to this woman is everybody is against you. Now the Bible declares, and I love this word the Bible says, is that the Bible says in essence, it says when your enemies come against you like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard. In other words, God is saying, I know they're coming, but the standard is I'm going to block that and I'm going to block that. You were guilty, but I still block that. You deserve to be caught, but I still block that. And I know you messed up that money for real, but I'm going to block that. No foreclosure. And I know you raised that child crazy, but I'm still going to block that with grace. He said, I'm going to raise up a standard in your life. Now, the standard is not based off your righteousness alone, but your righteousness in Him. He says, when your enemies come against you, He says, He'll do it. Yeah. Not you. Yeah. You're in a mess. Yeah. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need right now. But He says, I raise up a standard. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And then he says, one by one by one, they began to walk away. Verse number 10. Look at verse number 10. It says, when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. Now let me talk to you, woman. He says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Now listen, he says, no man has condemned thee, but I haven't condoned it either. I didn't tell you just because I'm gracing you through it that it was okay.
Right.
It's still a sin.
Yes, sir.
See, God doesn't need an excuse. And I think that's where we get confused. God doesn't need an excuse to bless you. He doesn't have to change anything to justify His love towards you. You can stand in need of sin. You can stand in a mud pile of sin. And He says, I'm going to reach out, touch you in your mess, and I'm going to lift you up, and ain't nothing nobody can do. And I'm God all by myself. I don't have to explain it to nobody.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, God has to change it. And no, He ain't got to change nothing. He's God. He does what God wants to do, and He don't owe nobody an explanation. Because if He owed an explanation, He still would be trying to explain how black sin can go through the red blood of the Lamb, come out as white as snow. I don't know. I don't need to know. I just know it's available. It's available.
Amen.
Turn to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, in closing. Romans 8, 1. He says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Romans chapter 8, in closing.
There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Wait a minute, Miss Patton. That's Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1.
Uh-huh.
Go back to chapter number 7, like the last two verses. Let's slide into verse number 8 so we'll make sure we understand what verse number 8 is talking about. Because remember I told you your Bible's not in order? So sometimes your Bible have periods and other things to make you start one chapter. When they wrote the Bible, it was a scroll. All them periods and questions. All that one even that. So this is man trying to make sense. We'll place a period there. I'm not saying it's not godly, but I'm just saying it's a scroll. Just keep on reading. So start at chapter number 7, the last two verses.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
In other words, you caught me in the very act. I can't get away from me. Wherever I go to do good, evil is always present. Oh, wretched man that I am. I am not talking about you. I'm talking about the wretched man I am. I'll talk to you, deal with you later. Right now, I'm caught up in some. Oh, God, my confession is the wretched man I am. Keep reading.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body?
Who will deliver me from a body of what?
Yeah.
death.
A body of death. In other words, he says, now this is not just a one-time thing. He says a body. In other words, I'm just living in an ocean of sin. A whole body of stuff. Just all around me sin. Who has the power to deliver me? Because I'm jacked up. I'm a wretched man. Keep reading.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I thank God for who?
Jesus.
Who's talking to the woman that got caught in adultery? Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. He must be the one that is able to deliver me. Keep reading.
So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God.
Now with the mind what?
I serve the law of God.
I serve the law of God. So the law is still there. So I have to be conscious of the law. That is, I still have to obey it. I still have to obey the Ten Commandments. Keep reading.
But with the flesh, the law of sin.
Wait. But cancel that out, what I just said. Just forget about what I said. But keep reading.
There is therefore now no condemnation.
There is therefore, just forget about all the wretched stuff that I am. Forget about me needing somebody. I got somebody. Now keep on reading. Start at verse number one again.
There is therefore,
forget about that stuff. Therefore, I can move forward. Therefore is there for a reason. And the reason is salvation, to get me away from sin. Therefore is there for that reason. Keep reading.
My God.
There is therefore now no condemnation.
No condemnation. I don't care what you heard about me. I don't care what you know about me. I don't even care what we did together.
My God.
There's no condemnation.
My God.
Keep reading.
To those that are in Christ Jesus.
Keep reading.
Who do not walk according to the flesh.
Who do not walk, meaning that's not your practice. It doesn't mean that you just live praying all the time. Because you're going to fall short sometimes.
Yes,
he says, but if your heart is right, even when you fall down, because a good man will fall down seven times, meaning that there's just no limit to when you do. He says, I'll pick you right on up, and I won't tell you where you came from, because therefore. Keep reading.
Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
But according to what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. And the Spirit of the law, the Spirit of the Ten Commandments, is simply that you love your neighbor. Here's my question in closing tonight. If I gave you permission to treat me like I treat you, would God be happy with our relationship? If I gave you permission to treat me like I treat you, would God be happy with our relationship? Because I'm supposed to love you as much as I love me. That's a whole lot of love. Wouldn't you agree? That means everything that I want in my life, I want the same for Reggie.
Yes.
Because I gotta love Reggie as I love myself. The same way, the same efforts and energy and prayer that I'm spending and the time before God about myself, God says you better come to me about Reggie too. If I gave you permission to treat me like I treat you, would God be happy with that relationship? Have you been blessed tonight?
Amen.